Ave Maria, welcome to Pro-Life to the Max, a weekly half-hour radio program under the patronage of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that is dedicated to keeping you informed on local, state, and national pro-life issues and efforts and inspiring you to get involved. I'm Rhonda Branham, and on behalf of my co-host, Monica Siefker, we want to wish you each a very blessed and Merry Christmas as we honor the sacred birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And not only are we joyfully celebrating the holy season of Christmas, but this weekend also marks the feast of the Holy Family of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. So it's providential that on today's program, Monica and I are going to be interviewing Mark and Michelle Overholt, administrators for the Indianapolis One in Christ Marriage Preparation Program. Mark and Michelle are going to be telling us about the exciting things going on here in the Archdiocese that are helping to build up a culture of life and love at its most foundational unit, marriage and the family. But before we bring them on, Monica, why don't you go ahead and start us off in prayer?
Oh God, Heavenly Father, it was part of your eternal decree that your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the human race, should form a holy family with Mary, his blessed mother, and his foster father, Saint Joseph. In Nazareth, home life was sanctified, and a perfect example was given to every Christian family. Grant, we beseech you, that all families may fully comprehend and faithfully imitate the virtues of the Holy Family, so that they may be united with them one day in their heavenly glory. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, through your intercession, grant the graces that all families need to be sanctified and spiritually perfected, living out their lives in imitation of the Holy Family, who imitated most perfectly the sacrificial and self-giving love of the Most Holy Trinity. May all married couples have a deep reverence and love for all life, and may they be ever generous in welcoming new souls into their lives. May all families become as little gardens where God dwells and walks among the perfumes and fragrances of their sacrifices and love for one another. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, to you we commend all families and married couples and beg you to bring about a great renewal in our society so that it may become a culture of life and love. Amen.
And let's go now to this week's In the News.
Two U.S. Democrat senators are objecting to President Trump's judicial nominee Brian Buescher for a federal district judge position. Senators Kamala Harris and Mazie Hirono are raising questions about Buescher's suitability because of his membership in the Catholic fraternal organization the Knights of Columbus. Both women are troubled that the Knights supported California's Proposition 8 ballot back in 2008, which sought to limit the institution of marriage to a man and a woman. Calling the position extreme, both Harris and Hirono implied that Buescher's membership to such an organization should immediately disqualify him from serving. Such religious profiling and persecution against faithful Catholics are on the rise, with Buescher's attack preceded by that of Trump's nomination of pro-life Catholic Amy Coney Barrett to the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals earlier this year. A recent bill introduced in New Mexico could legalize assisted suicide in all 50 states if passed. New Mexico House Bill 90 allows assisted suicide to be approved via telemedicine and does not have a residency requirement. Alex Schadenberg, executive director for the Euthanasia Prevention Coalition, states that loopholes in House Bill 90 are so wide that you could drive a hearse through it. He lists several concerns with the bill and is sounding the alarm that the recently elected Democrat governor of New Mexico has said that she supports the legalization of assisted suicide. The Euthanasia Prevention Coalition has organized a conference in Albuquerque, New Mexico in January to help educate citizens on this important issue. This past Thursday, the Ohio State Senate failed to reach the required votes to override Ohio Governor John Kasich's veto of the state's heartbeat bill. Following the Senate's failed attempt to override Kasich's veto by just one vote, Planned Parenthood supporters erupted in applause. Despite Thursday's loss, pro-lifers are encouraged and hopeful that if the heartbeat bill is presented again, Ohio's incoming Governor Mike DeWine will sign it. DeWine is staunchly pro-life and has stated that he believes life begins at conception. And in an unexpected good move, the Bloomington Planned Parenthood performed abortions this past Thursday, just 2 days after Christmas. The abortion center was closed the Friday before Christmas, on Christmas Eve, as well as on Christmas Day, limiting their time to fulfill the 18-hour waiting period requirement for women seeking abortions in Indiana. At least 13 abortions were performed at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood on the third day of Christmas and the day before the Feast of the Holy Innocents, as the rain fell from the sky, much like tears from heaven. And that's your weekly in the news.
Monica, the Fatima seer, Sister Lucia, once told a cardinal of the church that the final battle between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan would be about marriage and the family. And we can certainly see this playing out all around us.
Yeah, we certainly can, Rhonda. But Sister Lucia also had some very comforting remarks for us. Echoing the words of Pope St. John Paul II and sacred scripture itself, she said, "Do not be afraid." She went on to say that anyone who works for the sanctity of marriage and the family will always be fought and opposed in every way, because this is the decisive issue. However, she said, Our Lady has already crushed the head of the serpent.
Well, our guests today are doing all within their power to work for the sanctification of marriage and family life through a marriage preparation program called One in Christ. So let's bring Mark and Michelle Overhold on to the program. Hi, Mark and Michelle.
Hello.
Hello.
Thank you so much for being here with us today. We look forward to hearing about this program, but first, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourselves?
Sure. I'll go ahead and start. I was brought up in Northwest Indiana. Both my parents were Catholic, and I was raised as a cradle Catholic. And in 1997, I moved to Indianapolis, where I worked in commercial interior design. In 2015, I decided to leave the corporate world and really spend the majority of my time working on this ministry of marriage preparation with One in Christ.
Yes, and I was also a cradle Catholic, but I was born and raised in Illinois, and I was the youngest of five. Both of my parents were Catholic, but my father was Baptist and converted to the Catholic faith before he married my mother. And then back in 2005, I actually moved to the Indianapolis area. And in 2006, I married Michelle at St. John's, downtown Indianapolis. And our marriage was witnessed by Monsignor Joseph Schadel. Currently today, I work for Pitney Bowes, but as Michelle mentioned, for the past 8-9 years, we've been given to this ministry called One in Christ Marriage Prep.
Okay, great. So Mark and Michelle, tell us the story about how you got the One in Christ program started here in the Archdiocese of Indianapolis, and also what motivated you to do this?
Well, One in Christ was written by a very holy priest out of Chicago, Father Thomas Aschenbrenner. He introduced the program actually when he was down here in the Indianapolis area to Sister Diane and Monsignor Schadel back in 2009. This is when Monsignor was still the Vicar General of the Archdiocese. They approached Michelle and I and asked us to review the program, read the book. And after reading that, Michelle and I were just blown away on how impactful it was. It was just something that we wish we were able to participate when we were going through our own marriage prep. Mm-hmm. And then once we gave that feedback to Monsignor Schadel, he asked us, would we be willing to start up the program? So we've been praying on what we can do to help make a difference. And so that prayer has led us to Monsignor challenging us to start the program up here in the Archdiocese, and that's what motivated us to do it.
So what is the mission of the One in Christ Marriage Preparation Program?
Oh, that's a great question. And I think our mission is to support Roman Catholic priests in preparing engaged couples that desire to be united as husband and wife through Catholic matrimony. And we do this by providing catechesis based on scripture, Catholic tradition, and the church's magisterium. But we also incorporate a lot of practical tools like communications and finances for a lifelong and joyful marriage that is open to life.
Mm-hmm. Great, great. Now, Mark and Michelle, as you both well know, marriage touches upon the very pillar of creation, and it's meant to express the truth of the relationship between man and woman. it's also the foundation of a strong society. So if it collapses, everything else goes too. And so the church, she knows this. She knows how vitally important it is to prepare couples who are getting ready to enter into the sacrament of matrimony and then equip them with the ingredients needed for strong and holy marriages. So can you tell us how the One in Christ program fulfills the church's guidelines for marriage prep?
Sure. So the USCCB has 18 key areas that they recommend in their National Directory for Catechesis Preparation Guidelines to address in preparation for a Christian marriage. So we meet and exceed all of those. And then our archdiocese has three guiding principles for marriage prep. And those are Catholic vision of love and marriage, Catholic understanding of sexuality, and then the skills of love and marriage. So we exceed all those also. And our program also is unique in that we hit a lot of the tough topics, and we also have a strong emphasis on NFP. And I think that kind of sets us apart. And I think in the church's guidelines, they ask you to either, you know, cover theology of the body or NFP, and we incorporate both because we feel it's better to have a more comprehensive understanding of the church's teaching by incorporating both.
Mm-hmm. So could you walk us through a weekend or weekends that couples have to attend? How are married facilitators and priests involved in giving presentations or helping to run these seminars?
Yeah, that's another great question. Our engaged couples, once they register with us, understand that there's actually two parts, and Michelle kind of highlighted those two in the last answer. And part one is based over 3 days. And we have it on a Saturday and a Sunday and then a follow-up Saturday, basically kind of like a 9-to-4 kind of thing. Whereas these engaged couples go through readings and participating in a variety of presentations that are given by trained witnessing married couples that are really facilitating the learning. So, and after each presentation, and that presentation can incorporate not only visuals, but audio clips, movies, and the witnessing couple themselves. That engaged couple after that then has an opportunity, and Father Ashburner has done a great job within the program, to really for that couple to have a lot of one-on-one time, to go through a series of questions that he's facilitated based on his experience of working with engaged couples, to help those engaged couples really have their own discussions and go deeper on where they're at in their relationship, as well as their own relationship with God and the church. This is also a time in their breakout sessions for them to pray as a couple. And then as Michelle mentioned, actually on the day three, we provide an overview, high level of overview. They read in the book, but also on the options for NFP. And then we also bring together volunteers that come together on an NFP medical panel that have a Q&A as well as a breakout. So those couples can go and speak to those medical professionals, doctors, and we have a priest on as well on that day three, to help answer any ethical questions, moral questions, as well any sacramental questions. And then after that, that's when they choose where they're going to go, what best meets their needs to attend an NFP class from one of our NFP partners.
Very good.
Yeah, and that sounds so thorough, and that's just really exciting and good news with this prep program. Now, how many different locations are there that these seminars are held in, and where are these locations?
Sure. Well, we have two different locations. We have a north side location at St. Luke's, and then we have a south side location, which is at Our Lady of the Greenwood. It helped us to be able to reach the north side engaged couples and then those that live further on the south side. So we have two different locations that they could choose to attend from.
Okay, too. And do you get a lot of couples from throughout the whole archdiocese?
We do get a lot of different couples from all over the place. Some are getting married locally. Some are getting married out of state, but they're getting prepped locally.
Okay.
So we have a wide variety.
Okay, good. And then you talked about the married facilitators. How do their testimonies affect the participating engaged couples?
Right. So our married facilitators, they each cover a different presentation. And usually these presentations are less than an hour. And they really tell a story of their lives. You know, there's perhaps their struggles, their joys throughout marriage, or perhaps even a conversion story. And I think storytelling is very engaging, no pun intended, but, you know, it's very engaging for the couples, and they can relate to them. And I think they find it very inspiring because it helps them to realize, you know, there are other couples that may be struggling with the same thing that I'm struggling, mm-hmm. and this is how they've overcome it, mm-hmm. you know, and so it gives them hope and inspiration. So all in all, in our evaluations, they've really shared with us that they really appreciate the facilitating couples sharing their personal stories and witnesses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could see that, definitely. We all know that it takes love to make a marriage work and thrive, but I think our world has a really skewed view of what love is. It's oftentimes seen as something emotive, totally based on feelings. But as Christians, we know that an authentic love, the kind that it takes for a marriage to succeed, is required, and that means laying down your life for your beloved, just as Christ did for us. So how does the One in Christ program encourage couples to not just base their relationship on feelings, but to go deeper?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. And then the fact, a lot of time it comes in the ability, what Michelle just shared on how the witnessing couple is exposing those couples to be aware. Sometimes we're not aware of our own feelings, but also aware of something that this is much more deeper. And how to go deeper is really to turn to Mother Church. And just we go in with such a deeper catechesis of the Church's teaching on love and marriage, especially understanding the Trinitarian love. And when we use that Greek word agape love, of understanding what you just mentioned, we just have to look at a crucifix to understand how God came down to teach us how to love. And I think we use that foundation of who God is as an interrelationship of self-giving love, and that exploded forth a new life that we are participating in. These engaged couples are seeing that, wow, this is so much more what I'm called to. You know, this is a vocation of marriage, but I'm in my vocation, I'm called to help my future spouse get to heaven. And if we're blessed with any children, to help them get to heaven. So I think this foundation that we're providing through the beauty of the Church's teaching, we interweave it through the whole program. And it just provides a strong foundation for these engaged couples to understand the unitive and procreative ends of marriage. And we're starting to address all the whys of the goodness, the truth, and the beauty that the Church teaches. So I think that helps the couples go deeper on their understanding of their vocation.
You know, that's so awesome. And it's also so refreshing to hear that, because it is so needed, isn't it? So that's great. So I know you've talked about the couples, they take NFP classes, and you've talked about the theology of the body. So how does the proper understanding of the beautiful gift of human sexuality then figure prominently in this program? And why is that so important?
Yeah, well, we have to share the beauty, the goodness, and what it means to be a human person, just along with the truth of God's original plan for the gift of sexuality. You know, engaged couples get this complete understanding of relationships between love and sex, but also the differences between love and lust. We share this with the engaged couples, and they learn, like we've given examples before, but just, you know, even on the teachings of Humanae Vitae, or what you just mentioned, the teachings like on St. John Paul II's theology of the body, because it's so important to do this, to put it as a prominent within sharing this good news, is because they're getting the exact opposite, because our society is bombarding us with half-truths or confusing suggestions about this beautiful gift. And many times the engaged couples haven't heard, but more importantly, seen, especially from our facilitator couples, our witnessing couples, the proper understanding of sexuality and its purpose for a greater good. And this is just so important to share the good news of hope about faith and life. So I think that's why it's so important, because we're answering the whys and giving them what value that God has given us with this great gift.
So do you find that most couples respond well to truth, truth that is not watered down? And do you find that couples are searching for something better?
Yes, absolutely. They're looking for the truth that's not watered down. As Mark mentioned, they understand what the Church says no to, but they don't understand the whys behind it. And once we explain the whys of the Church's teachings, it's like they get it. They get it, and they want to be challenged. And a lot of them are seeing, you know, the statistics, not just those that are, you know, hard copy statistics, but they see it in their own perhaps broken families that they may have come from, of, you know, just the increasing number of divorced couples. And they're looking for a way to get beyond that. And so they're looking for truth. You know, what the world teaches is not working. So can somebody give us an example of something that does work? And I think when we explain the church's teachings and the whys behind it, I think they really do grasp it.
Yeah, absolutely. I know there is. There's so much woundedness and pain out there, isn't there? Yeah. Well, in case you're just joining us, Mark and Michelle Overholt are our special guests today on Pro Life to the Max, and we're discussing the marriage preparation program called One in Christ. So, Mark and Michelle, can you tell us some success stories, or do you have some comments from participants, especially those who maybe were unsure or hesitant about even attending the seminar to begin with?
Yes, we have lots of success stories. At the end of our course, we ask our couples to share some feedback, and they just really bring tears to your eyes. Here's one I'll read. We have made a commitment to pray more, say the rosary, and get more involved in the church. We are also going to go to confession more. I am no longer taking birth control and don't plan to ever again. We also talk about our future children now. Instead of putting a number on it, we say, however many God blesses us with.
Wow.
And I know, isn't that powerful?
Yeah.
And here's another one. I truly felt that this experience brought us closer as a couple and closer to God. Today was great, so informative, and I love the speakers, particularly Dr. Stroud and Marianne. I have had some hormonal imbalance issues that I have been dealing with for years, and I found the medical panel Q&A and one-on-one sessions so invaluable. That's just, you know, a couple of the feedback that we're getting from our couples on just where they were before and where they're at afterwards, and just truly appreciating truth.
What would you say is the most important thing that an engaged couple can do to help their marriage last and to make it truly the sacrament that it was meant to be by Almighty God?
Yeah, so I think Father Aschenbrenner, the author of this program, had it right when he gave the program the title, One in Christ, because I really truly believe that it's so important to stay united as a couple in Christ. And I would say first and foremost, you know, we truly recommend the sacrament, Mass, and frequent reconciliation. And then that old saying that goes, you know, the family that prays together, stays together, has so much wisdom behind it. One of the best forms of prayer, I think, is just reading together as a couple from the Bible, you know, through scriptures. You receive graces from that. Mm-hmm. And I think if you're struggling in your marriage, you know, we also share Catholic counselors for our couples to seek help. And then it's also, I think, important to always, in our prayers, to ask Christ. You know, we sometimes kind of look at our spouse and say, well, gosh, I wish this were changed or this were different. But I think it's also important to humble ourselves and ask Christ, well, what can I change first and foremost in myself? So I'll say in closing, we totally recommend prayer, sacrifice, and fasting in addition to those.
Wow, you guys have a lot of good practical advice there that, you know, that's all wrapped up into this program. And, you know, you mentioned your panel, especially the medical panel and the doctors. So tell us about your alliance with the St. Raphael Catholic Medical Guild of Indianapolis. And I know that it seeks to integrate the science of fertility awareness with the beauty of our Catholic faith.
Yes, yes. That was one thing that as we started the program over 8 years ago and as we've gone through, and Father Aschenbrenner had a lot of the faith and reason and a lot of resources within the book that they can read about. We actually invited one time Dr. Margiotta, who was a local Creighton doctor here in Indianapolis, to our follow-up Saturday, and they were just overwhelmed. She was overwhelmed by all the engaged couples coming up and asking her questions, and we're like, we need more of this. So we started reaching out and identifying, growing up our NFP community, as well as identifying Catholic doctors that were living their faith as well as their practice of their vocation and their professional career. And it naturally just grew from there. So we had doctors and nurses, and we were sharing on that, and we grew it. And all we did this past year is that we just solidified that agreement where we're helping each other out, because we have a lot of engaged couples that are coming through that might be medical students. And so we want to share with them that there's a community out there like the St. Raphael Catholic Medical Guild, the CMA, that's out there to assist them in not only in their professional experience, but as they grow in their faith. And then at the flip side, they're able to provide the resources that we need to on our different seminars throughout the year. So this alliance has just been a beautiful, natural coming together to deliver the beauty, the goodness, and the truth about marriage and family life.
Oh, that's so awesome, yeah.
So, Mark and Michelle, are there plans to bring the One in Christ Marriage Preparation Program to Bloomington?
Well, the talks have definitely started. We have been in talks with the Bloomington Deanery, and we've had actually the Bloomington group up to come and witness and observe our One in Christ weekends. And that has been very fruitful for them. At this point, we're looking to recruit facilitators for our Bloomington area. And then we can move on to the next step of planning some dates for 2019, which we're really excited to begin. So, yes, we're definitely looking at bringing this to Bloomington.
Oh, very good.
Yeah, great. Okay, and, yeah, we'll put a shout out there to any listeners who might be feeling nudge to help out on this, and especially to keep in your prayers. Well, Rhonda and Mark and Michelle, we are nearing the end of our time here today. As always, the time passes too quickly, but we do want to sincerely thank you both, Mark and Michelle, for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us today. And especially thank you for all you're doing to answer the call and helping to sanctify and build up marriage and family life.
Thank you, Rhonda. And if I could just give our website out, it's OICINDY.com. That stands for One in Christ Indy. So that's OICINDY.com if anyone has any other questions or would want to reach out to us.
Okay. We ask our listeners to please keep the Overholts and all the engaged couples who attend these seminars in your prayers, and ask our Lord to send more helpers to this important ministry. And be sure to check out their website, oicindy.com. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Rhonda and Monica.
It was our pleasure. Very happy to be here today.
Okay, well, during his Angelus address on December 29th, 2002, Pope St. John Paul II said, "The liturgy of this Sunday, a few days after Christmas, invites us to contemplate the Holy Family of Nazareth, a wonderful model of human and supernatural virtues for all Christian families. Let us meditate on the mystery of this unique family. We can find in it values and teachings which today are more indispensable than ever to give human society sound and stable foundations." May his words be a source of meditation for us as we celebrate the Feast of the Holy Family this weekend. That's all the time we have for today. Thank you for joining us here on Pro-Life to the Max. Until next time, let us heed the warning of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that the most deadly poison of our time is indifference. Let's pray for one another that we may be consumed with the desire to save lives and souls and to give the greatest possible honor and glory to God. Ave Maria.
Ave Maria.